parable. And there are two things really that I want to highlight, or two ways that I want to look at today's parable to help us understand. But as a review, what Jesus said is that the seed in today's parable was His gospel, His teaching, His words. And then when that seed is planted, there are different things that can happen to it. It may find no root. It may get blown away. People don't hear the gospel, and it doesn't blossom at all. Sometimes it's in the rock. Sometimes it gets choked by the weeds. And therefore, even though it has taken root, it doesn't grow. It doesn't flourish as it should. Whereas other times, it produces a multitude. That seed multiplies and creates a great crop, a great legacy, so to speak. And so we, brothers and sisters, as we hear this parable, ought to think about two things. The first thing is that we should think about ourselves and how we have allowed the seed to take hold. I can sort of assume that all of us are here, unless you were forced by a loved one to be here. You're here because the seed has taken root, at least to some degree or another. Again, that's why we're gathered together. But we have to ask ourselves whether we're allowing the seed of the gospel to fully grow, or are we allowing it by temptations that come up on us to be choked, to not fully blossom. We have to ask ourselves, are we allowing the cares of this world, the pleasures and the riches of this world, to choke the gospel and therefore not to flourish in our own lives? And we have to recognize that we are in a culture that encourages us to choke that gospel message. You know, a lot of people today criticize capitalism. I'm not an economist, and I'm not going to talk about capitalism from the pulpit, but what I will talk about is another C word, consumerism. And that, to me, is the real problem that we face today in our society. Is this notion that we are first and foremost consumers. You know, as I was traveling back from Greece, I had the opportunity to watch a movie on the 13-hour flight. Could have watched several if I wanted to, but I watched A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Highly recommended if you haven't seen it. I had not even heard about it until the flight. I'm really out of touch with movies that are out, unless it was in the 1990s or the 2000s or so. I know some of those, but I wasn't aware of A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, but it is based upon the life of Fred Rogers, who many of us know as Mr. Rogers, and his neighborhood. I grew up, I remember very young watching that show, probably the first show that I remember watching, and watching it religiously. So it was interesting to see about the life of Mr. Rogers. Very fascinating. It's an uplifting movie, an encouraging movie, and it's a movie that made me think about myself and ways that I could be a better Christian. But what Mr. Rogers said, probably back in the 70s or 80s, recognizing the problem, what he talked about is how we, as a society, tend to look at children and we don't think about how they feel, about what's going on inside their heads and inside their hearts, and how we might cultivate that for the good. But we worry too much about what they will be, which is a consumer. We also see in the news today, there's much ado about Facebook and Instagram and things that have come out about what these products do and how the people that run these companies know that they harm people. They know that specifically teenage girls are more likely to have suicidal thoughts after watching Instagram. We see the same things, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, any form of social media. Why? We shouldn't just blame Facebook or these other companies. It's because of the way we have chosen to live as a society. Why do these things happen? It all happens so that you can be sold ads, so that you can know what to consume. And if you don't know, we have a suggestion for you based upon what you've been reading. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole business model. I don't know who it was, but someone said, if the product is free, you're the product. And that's the way that it is with social media. When these things are free, it's because you're the product. And they're selling you to advertising agencies. Why? Because we've been taught to consume, consume, and consume. So we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, are we being choked by this consumer society? Are we allowing our children and the gospel message to be suffocated in them because we allow them to be trapped by our society and by these apps and so forth that we have, the social media? Or are we allowing the gospel to flourish by teaching them about these things? By setting ground rules for ourselves, adults, as well as for our children. These are serious things that we have to think about in light of our Lord's parable today. But the second angle, the second thing I want you to focus on in today's parable is not about you and how the seed is growing in you, but rather, and this is the primary purpose of the parable, whether you are sowing the seed, whether you are spreading the gospel message in the way that you live, in the way that you behave, in the way that you talk, the way you interact with others. Because ultimately what Jesus was telling us in this parable, telling his disciples, and through their words to us, telling us, is that we are to go and spread the seed. And the reason for that is simple, because you can have the best earth in the world. You can have the best areas to plant in the world, but if nobody goes out and throws seed on that land, then nothing is going to grow. It will never realize its potential. And so it is up to us as followers of Christ to make sure that we go and we spread that seed. When I think about this, I think about that great day, great and holy Saturday. One of the most fun times of the year for me, when I come out and I have the laurel leaves that symbolize Christ's victory and the flowers that have been torn up symbolizing Christ bursting out of the tomb, and we throw them all over the church. Remember that. It's the same thing that we do with the seed of the gospel, or what we should do with the seed of the gospel, is we throw it everywhere and we don't know where it takes hold. And our Lord's telling us in advance not to be discouraged, that it won't take hold in some places, that the wind will blow it away. Don't be discouraged because some of it falls on the rock and can't take a deep root and eventually will be nothing. Don't worry that sometimes the seed will be choked by the weeds and won't be able to grow, but recognize that sometimes the seed will fall on the good soil. And unless you had sprinkled that soil with the seed, it would never have grown. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, people tell me they're discouraged. They can get discouraged by the lack of participation in certain activities that we have at the church. People can be discouraged at the way that they view Christianity today in this world and how it's seeming not to grow but to shrink. But we always have to focus on our job. Our job is not to give the growth. As St. Paul talks about in his first letter to the Corinthians, only God gives the growth. It's our job and our only job to plant the seed. Many people will not respond, but we have to plant the seed. Because it's only if we do that that it will sometimes fall on good soil and it will produce a crop. I see here today before me the evidence of people who have sowed that seed before us here in our own community. This church we're getting ready to celebrate very soon. We'll begin a celebration. We'll speak about it more as the year goes on, of our 90th anniversary. We're here 90 years later because people that came from overseas of Lebanese heritage came and they founded this church and they planted this seed here in Wichita, Kansas. And imagine, if you could, the treatment that some of these people had to put up with from people that looked like you and me. In other words, people who were of lighter skin. Many of these people in our parish were persecuted. They were treated many times like black people were treated in this city and in this country 90 years ago. They often were not allowed into certain places to eat, or they were treated as second-class citizens at best. But because they planted the seed, people like you and me, the ancestors of those people who mistreated them, are here in the church that they founded. We are here blossoming because of that seed they planted. Do you think they saw that 90 years ago? My guess is many of them would be surprised to see the church today, pleasantly surprised to see this church today. And it's here because they listened to today's gospel. They sowed the seed. Many of it fell on deaf ears or worse. But because they sowed it, we're here today, worshiping the one God in Trinity. We're here today as one people under God, not as Lebanese, not as, you know, traditional American backgrounds, English backgrounds, but as one people of God, different colors, different ethnicities, some of us different languages. We're here because people planted the seed. And thank God, with a few of us, it fell on good soil and has blossomed. Our charge today, brothers and sisters, is to first and foremost take care of our own lives and to make sure we're not choking the seed that was planted. But secondly, our charge is to continue planting that seed, because we don't know what will come 90 years, 100 years, 1,000 years later because of that. Only our God knows, because He is the one who gives the growth. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.